Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. Hope you're having a good start to your day. Thanks for joining us here on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you at 9:05 on the clock. We got good things lined up for you this hour. Got some entertainment news coming up a little bit later. That ain't right story or two. We'll see how that happens. And we got some stuff
right there.
How
they work out.
And some local good stories of the day we're looking forward to touching on. But right now, it's a Monday. It's the 9 o'clock hour. You know what we like to do here.
That's right. Welcome to the Kitchens Open on WFHR. Here we enjoy talking about great kitchens and fun food. Today we're going to talk about great people in kitchens.
It's about time we talked about me on this segment. You probably heard I was in a kitchen last week, and I made the most beautiful bowl of cereal, Melissa. I've never seen anything more beautiful in my life. To start, there was this chocolate
James.
Milk that. Yeah. And there was a delicious combination.
James,
Fully fruity pebbles, and I put the cocoa and the fruity pebbles in, and I actually
stop. Well, I appreciate that you were in a kitchen, and I'm proud of you for creating cereal combinations. That wasn't exactly the direction I was planning to go this week.
Oh, I knew that. I was just got excited because this is like the first or maybe second time you and I have gotten to do this segment by ourselves. It's kind of fun.
That's true. And because of that, I thought this would be the perfect opportunity to jump back and pick up a topic we discussed about a month ago.
A month ago. I know we talked about the sound of food and kitchen scraps. And
we also talked about something you and I get into quite often on our regular morning show.
I remember gender roles in the kitchen.
That's right. We made it through the Industrial Revolution during our segment on June 19th, but we ran out of time. I thought this would be a great topic for you and I to delve further into, since we both feel strongly about the subject of equal rights in the workplace.
It sounds like a great plan. And to be honest, I'm not all that proud of my cereal creation. It got soggy really fast, and the chocolate milk turned a little funky color because of the fruity pebbles.
It's okay, James. It's okay. Sometimes things don't go the way you think they should have. You know, that correlates somewhat with our topic today. Now, for both of us, our mothers ruled the kitchen. I think in many households, that's very true.
That was certainly true in mine. I mean, my dad can cook a few things, but mom is in charge.
And yet, women have been fighting for decades to have equal standing in the restaurant world. But it's not for a lack of education.
I'm looking at statistics from datausa.io that shows that five institutions that graduate the most students in culinary arts and chef training, 52.7% of these graduates were female in 2021.
And if you look at the data from the Culinary Institute of America, their enrollment numbers for the 2021-22 school year are very similar by gender. There's 1,490 men and 1,475 women currently enrolled in working towards a culinary degree in the undergraduate program.
But the number actually shifts quite a bit when looking at those attending graduate school. There's only 41 men and 70 women. 63% of those working towards a master's degree in culinary arts are women.
That doesn't surprise me, James. Women have had to work harder to prove themselves in professional kitchens, and honestly, in life. Having that slip of paper that costs tens of thousands of dollars is another way to give themselves a leg up. More women are head chefs at restaurants than ever, but not at the very top.
You're right. This article at chefspencil.com, great name for a website, by the way, that says that the number of female chefs is rising. In 2014, only 22% of chefs were female. 7 years later, in 19, that number increased to 23.9%. That's not a lot, but it's progress. Mm-hmm. However, if you look at Michelin-starred restaurants, only 6.04% are led by women, and that's across the whole world.
Yeah. The professional kitchen environment is known for its fast pace, aggressive tactics, and long working hours. They are not necessarily bad on their own, but when you include the historically toxic work environment, male chauvinism, and misogyny, it's not welcoming to women.
An article on Nation's Restaurant News, NRM.com, said, quote, according to the Harvard Business Review, as many as 90% of women in the industry have reported some kind of sexual harassment more than any other industry. Again, 90%.
90%. And that's not okay in any industry, but in professional kitchens, it's been the culture. With men dominating the industry, work environments like restaurants fuel power imbalances for women. This leaves them more susceptible to sexual harassment and retaliation. In the past, the answer has always been to push women out and keep the culture as is. That might seem like the easiest answer, but that environment isn't healthy for anyone. It's time for the culture to change.
Wow, you weren't kidding. When you said last month that this topic got dark, we talk a lot about gender roles and equality. I honestly would have thought that things were better than in the restaurant world now.
I agree. That's part of the reason why I shied away from this topic initially. But that's the opposite of what we need to do to fix these things in our society that are broken. I'll admit, it goes against subconscious biases I have. It's something I think we all experience. We tend to gravitate towards what's familiar, and that makes it hard to break cycles and change patterns.
The good news is we can change those patterns. It takes bravery to talk about these subjects and push them into the light. Abuse is never okay.
No. I read an article on ChefSack.com called Women Working in Professional Kitchens and Their Obstacles. It talks about how change can happen by acknowledging the past. The article states, quote, "The restaurant world transmitted and promoted a culture that included physical and emotional abuse and suffering, which were not only unhealthy for everyone involved, but were also notably successful in excluding women from feeling safe and included in this space."
The article says that this acknowledgement is the first step in creating change in the restaurant profession. It is also the most difficult because it requires the industry to take a hard look at where our culture is weak.
Now let's go back to the website Chef Pencil for a moment. It quotes William Drew. He's the director of content for the world's 50 best restaurants. He says, "Since we introduced the world's best female chef award 10 years ago, we've been working to draw attention to this inequality and shine a light on supremely talented female chefs, both with the aim of celebrating them as individuals, but also to inspire future generations of young women."
He goes on to say, quote, "Until women are more equally represented in the hospitality sector or occupy higher positions within the industry on a more equal scale, we will continue to celebrate and elevate the achievements of women in this space."
The introduction of the award created some controversy in the industry, as some people complained it was discriminatory. Now, I believe this is an example of where our culture is weak. People want to cry discrimination when both genders aren't considered for an award equally. However, as we've mentioned, only 24% of U.S. chefs are women, and only 7% of Michelin restaurants in the U.S. are led by women.
William Drew said, quote, "We hope that one day the world's best female chef award isn't needed, but until there is more diversity in the industry, we'll continue recognizing the best female chefs and inspiring ongoing debate around gender issues in the food world."
3-star Michelin chef Dominique Crenn spoke with the Michelin Guide on March 8th of this year. She said, "We have to change the narrative." And I quote, "It's important to make sure that as women, we are not a transaction. We have to stop that. The world needs to know that we are here and here to stay. People need to understand, but the way you do that is not by being aggressive. I do things gently and work hard to educate people and invite them to understand, to change the narrative." End quote.
Especially since the pandemic, people are putting more importance on a healthy work-life balance. World-famous Slovenian chef Anna Ross told ChefsPencil.com, quote, "The work in a professional kitchen is very intense, requires lots of hours, energy, and dedication, and lots of young professionals, male and female, are struggling."
She went on to say, "The whole system needs to change in order not only for women, but for chefs in general to thrive and succeed."
We are seeing some positive changes in the restaurant industry, and I'm happy to say NRN.com reported Starbucks announced it achieved gender pay partially in the U.S. in 2018. That's the practice of paying people in a fair and impartial manner. They were pioneers in the fast food restaurant scene. McDonald's followed suit by 2021. They reported closing all pay gaps by the gender system-wide.
Mm-hmm. That article goes on to say trying to close the pay gaps is no small feat. According to the U.S. Census Bureau's American Community Survey, women earned an estimated 82 cents for every dollar that men earned in 2021. The gender pay gap was greater for full-time female managers, who earned an estimated 77 cents for every dollar earned by full-time male managers.
Having major corporations driving change is a big step to making changes across the restaurant industry as a whole. McDonald's has pledged to reach gender
parity.
parity in leadership roles by the end of 2030. Yum Brands, which is the parent company of KFC, Taco Bell, Pizza Hut, and the Habit Burger Grill, has also pledged to achieve gender equality in leadership roles by 2030.
Now, all of this is great, but we've left out one very important point that is vital in solving the issue of gender equality in the workspace, and that is childcare.
According to Emily Williams Knight, CEO and president of the Texas Restaurant Association, childcare is the biggest puzzle piece that needs to be solved before true gender equity can be achieved in the industry. Not training, not resource groups, not development opportunities, but childcare.
She goes on to say, quote, making progress here requires us to identify that it's not a characteristic of women keeping them back. It's the system they have to function in. So if you look at the numbers, the childcare piece is so critical. Fundamentally, this limitation is an economic issue for the industry, not a woman's issue, an economic issue.
Mm-hmm. Well said. This is an issue Wisconsinites should be very well aware of. We've talked a lot recently about the fact that Wisconsin has a shortage of quality, affordable childcare. More than half of the people in this state live in a childcare desert. There are predominantly in rural communities. There are more than three children under the age of five for each licensed childcare slot.
So if we want things to get better in the restaurant industry and industry as a whole, we need to start by funding childcare.
That's pretty much what it boils down to, Mel. And it will only help the restaurant restaurant industry, mm-hmm. but our workforce as a whole in this state. I know we're not trying to get political during this segment, so I'll just say supporting our childcare industry is fundamental to supporting our future. Not only our literal future, because children are the future, of course, but our future as a successful state where families want to live and work and start businesses.
I agree with you, James. This is part of a much larger debate we need to have more discussion on. But for now, we've run out of time and the segment got a little heavy today, James.
Yes, but did you hear about the restaurant on the moon?
No.
Great food, no atmosphere.
Oh, jeez.
What's Peter Pan's favorite restaurant?
What?
Wendy's.
Oh, of course.
Okay, one more. Did you hear about the fight that broke out at the seafood restaurant?
No.
Battered fish everywhere.
And we're done here. Thank you for joining us today on another segment of The Kitchen's Open.
Do you know why I'd be a great waiter?
No.
I bring a lot to the table.
Okay. Let's close the kitchen.
Oh, another great segment, Melissa. That was a lot of fun. Thank you also not only for doing these week in and week out and the great work that you do on them, Melissa, but for bringing that information to us. As much as I am in the know on some of these things, there was a lot of stuff there I did not know. I appreciate that.
Yeah,
and
we're
always looking for a sponsor for this segment, everybody.
Yes, we are.
Hit up our amazing sales team. Call our front desk at 424-1300. Pam will put you in touch with Ashley, and we'll put you in touch with our show and get you a spot. Get you to sponsor this.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back with more fun on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. We hope you're having fun. Having a good one out there. Melissa and James here with you. It's such a unique voice.
Mm-hmm. It's a fun song to sing, too.
I don't know if I appreciated her voice enough as a kid growing up, but as an adult, I sure do.
It's very different than everything else you hear.
Mm-hmm. Diving into some entertainment news now, in case you didn't know, the strike is still continuing with the actors and writers both on the same page now.
Yes.
Which means that they cannot promote their projects or attend premieres, neither actors nor writers. Unfortunately, this didn't work out for the Haunted Mansion premiere that took place at Disneyland on Saturday, but the show must go on. And instead of actors for the movie like Jamie Lee Curtis, Owen Wilson, Tiffany Haddish, Lakeith Stanfield,
walking the red carpet. They had Mickey Mouse, Minnie Mouse, Cruella de Vil, Maleficent, the Evil Queen, all of this.
They had the Disney characters. Okay.
Director Justin Simon attended and said it was sad and disappointing to be there without his cast. Quote, I'm not disappointed in this cast. I'm disappointed in the conditions that brought about this situation.
Well, that's good.
In other strike news, a production on Deadpool 3, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 2, Gladiator 2, all halted. Also, Mandy Moore and her This Is Us co-stars joined the picket line on Friday for the first day of the strike.
Hmm.
Just talking to a lot of the people that were out there on the strike, on the front lines over the weekend, both writers and actors and some producers out there, by the way. Mm-hmm. There are some producers that are pushing back against this and saying, hey, my fellow producers, what are we doing here? Mm-hmm. Let's knock this off. We're losing millions and millions of dollars every minute. Like, not just every day.
Still going on.
Every minute. Every minute this goes on, everybody losing money. Mm-hmm. Everybody hurting. And I hope to God that you out there are putting your, if you're having anger, if you're having any focus on this, if you're paying attention, you're putting it in the right places.
Yeah.
Because there is the difference of this, of people making thousands of dollars and people making millions.
Right.
And billions and printing money. And this matters to you. Do you care about good work? Have you ever seen a good TV show? Have you ever seen a good movie? Have you ever listened to a song you like? If you have, it's because of a creative. And that's what we're fighting for here.
Yeah.
We're not fighting for, hey, we want to be billionaires too. Hey, we want as much money as you've got. It ain't about that.
No.
It's about respect and being paid the job that you've done.
Yes.
Every human being, no matter what job you're doing out there, don't you want to get paid your worth?
Yes.
That's what this is about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that different than what we've been struggling with already with the workforce.
Correct.
Hey, you know what? I don't want to work on a grill for 8 hours for $5.
Right.
I'm sorry. God help. Oh, I'm a jerk because I want to actually get paid what I'm worth.
And not have to work three jobs to afford rent and food.
Yeah. Because literally nobody in society has ever been able to make a living off of $7. I don't care if it was maybe in 1960. Okay, I'll give you that. Mm-hmm. I will give you that. I'll even bend on this a little bit. Maybe in the 60s, you could have lived off $7.25 an hour. Maybe. Maybe you could have. I don't know. I was just born. I'm not sure. But I could tell you in the 80s, in the 90s, in the early aughts, and damn sure in the teens and the roaring 20s here, you can't live on $7.25 an hour.
No.
And anybody telling you that is lying to you straight up.
Mm-hmm.
Or hasn't done their homework in economics at all. Or maybe they just haven't had to actually pay attention to their bank account in years because they make so much.
Yeah, they just live in a different reality than the rest of us, because that is what billionaires are doing. They don't live in our reality.
Well, that's one of the quickest ways you could tell a filthy rich person from just a regular person, the way they spin these conversations.
Mm-hmm.
We have this conversation. We're going to get into this on Playmakers today from 3 to 4, because I got an email over the weekend about, I am one of the reasons college football's dying, because I believe in NIL licensing, and I believe in these players getting money. So you mean to tell me you didn't get bent out of shape when the head football coach was making $10 million in a year, and the highest paid state employee is the head football coach of the university? You didn't lose your mind when these donors were putting in tons and tons of money and getting their names on all this stuff and everything, but Billy is getting paid, you know, from a car dealership a little bit of money, and you've got a problem with that all of a sudden. Like, oh, now we've got a problem. Now there's too much money in college football and everything. When I was a kid, my ex-wife went to Madison, and we were at a party once, and Ron Dane was there. Ron Dane was collecting money for food. But one of the greatest college athletes I've ever seen in my life. I believe he's still the all-time leading rusher in college football history. And he was asking around at a party for money for food.
Oh, wow.
Like, I mean, this is the world. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. So, yeah, I think some of that stuff is important.
Absolutely. And we all enjoy entertainment. We all like movies and TV shows and music and these things that make our life more enjoyable.
Yeah, we've always had entertainment, and just hasn't always been right the way it's been treated.
Correct.
Now, part of the issue with the strike and some of these things going on is the fear, or not the fear so much, but AI, and how do we work around this? How does AI interfere with our jobs? And how does that interact with pay? A lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody is freaked out by AI, though. Joe Walsh from the Eagles says, quote, "It's computers. It has nothing to do with music. Artificial intelligence can't destroy a hotel room. It can't throw a TV off the fifth floor into the pool. When AI knows how to destroy a hotel room, then I'll pay attention to it."
Okay, that's a different take.
I guess there's more to rock and roll than writing a riff. However, some of rock and roll lifestyle that Joe is talking about has already become a relic of a different time.
Right. Yeah, you can't just destroy hotel rooms anymore.
I listened to him saying this, and because Joe Walsh, I don't know Joe Walsh, you know, verbatim. None of us do unless you know Joe Walsh, like you hang out with him, you're friends with him. It's hard to tell if he's doing this like tongue in cheek.
Being serious,
or
yeah.
If he's being serious.
Right.
I'm not sure. I'm really not. So, we can't disagree with him. I don't believe we've ever seen a computer lose its mind or stomp off the, you know, like do it like opening song and then stomp
slam
off.
The guitar down and yeah.
But I will say his point, I'm not sure if this is his point or not, but we've already been touching on this. We say AI can't do references. It can't give you nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, remember writing a song? Remember, you know, Fruit Loops? We loved Fruit Loops as kids. You know, Fruit Loops still exists. It can't do certain things, certain
tab.
Elements.
Do you remember Tab?
Yeah, Tab. Come on. Yeah, Tab. he's got a bit of a point here, whether he was trying to make one or just be silly or not, I'm not sure. It's hard to tell with Joe Walsh.
Yeah.
Joe Walsh is one of these guys that's made how many hit songs that nobody else probably could have made a hit, but Joe Walsh did,
mm-hmm.
you know, with the tones and the different points, themes of his songs aren't stuff that everybody could have made a million off of, that's for sure. And finally, I referenced this earlier, and I thought this was pretty cool. It's no secret many Hollywood couples end up divorced, but Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell have been together since 1984. That is almost 40 years.
Hmm.
And they've done this despite never getting married. Could they be on to something? It's worth mentioning they've both been married in the past. Goldie has been divorced twice and Kurt once. So this definitely has impacted their decision never to wed. And I'm just going to play a little bit of this interview for you right here with Miss Goldie Hawn. And I'm not doing it just because I love Goldie Hawn and I just want to hear it.
Oh. So the question I have, which people have been asking for more than 40 years, we're going to get into it. Why aren't the two of you married?
Why should we get married? Isn't that a better question?
Well, I suppose. But why aren't you married?
Because we had been married. And because when it doesn't work out, it ends up to be big business. Somebody has to own something. It's always ugly. Somebody has to, you know, actually take a look and say, how many divorces are fun? How many divorces actually
none I've ever heard.
Cost money? How many divorces make you even hate the person more than you did before?
It's an interesting interview. I encourage you to listen to it. Check the whole thing out. She goes on to say, "I like the idea that I can wake up in the morning and make decisions every day if I want to be here. I think that staying independent with independent thinking is important. So you can hold on to yourself and you can actually have that feeling."
Well, so I have mixed feelings about this because I, when I was out in the dating world, I can't tell you how many guys, there were more than one that brought up Goldie Hawn and Russell Crowe.
Oh, yeah.
And they're...
I imagine.
And they're, you know, like, you know, we, they didn't do it. That's the kind of romance I want, is their take on it. You know, that's the kind of romance that I need. But do you know what? Goldie Hawn is independently wealthy on her own.
Right.
She has no problems paying for insurance. She has no problems, you know, all of the things that she needs in life are taken care of. And in our society today, that's not how it works. We just talked about the fact that women don't make the same amount at the same job as a man because they're a woman, you know?
Yeah.
And how many jobs do we have that don't have insurance?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lovely, romantic, beautiful story that they have, but it's not everybody else's reality.
At 424-2600, name me a different couple that has been together this long that hasn't been married. 424-2600. We'll wait. They're the outlier. Mm-hmm. They're the example that everybody brings up and has brought up for the last 30-some years either one, Hollywood couples can work, or two, marriage doesn't have to be. And it's like, okay, what's your other example? Like, if you want to go do the example thing, you need more than one outlier. Mm-hmm. You need more. That's how data works. That's how science right. works. You can't just go off of one example. So give me another example. We ain't got one. To Melissa's point, I mean, it sounds beautiful. Their story actually would make a great movie.
Yeah.
It would great make a great
TV show
or something.
It probably will someday.
And yeah, it probably will. Yeah, yeah. But in it doesn't make a lot of reality sense. There's so many outliers here, along with them being an outlier. For one, they were older when they got married. They mm-hmm. had established careers when they got married.
When
they got together. They came into the relationship not with this, hey, hi, I'm Goldie. Hi, I'm Kurt. Let's never get married. No, this grew. This happened organically.
Mm-hmm.
It was something that, oh, you don't want to either? Well, okay, cool. Let's not do it.
Right, because they can choose every day to be together. That's great.
To what you were talking about with that the guys out there kind of just starting, like the relationship hasn't even started, and they're already telling you this. For mm-hmm. one, red flag. but two, like, what are you doing? Like, that's not how these things work. If it were to happen, it would probably happen organically. It's not something that you go into. Well, I'm just, you know, I suppose if you are the type of person that does not want to get married again, that is probably something you should tell somebody on a first, second date kind
right.
of thing.
Well, and I don't have an issue with that. My issue with is the marriage as a whole.
Right.
And it's still, I'm going to say, you know, it makes it difficult to not be married. Yeah. In today's society.
Right, right, yeah. Which
to
is
to survive as a woman.
It's weird. It's very weird.
We're still owned.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's I usually try to end these things with a funny comment or something. There's nothing funny about that. There's no segue for me on that. It's just something we need to bring attention to more and more. Mm-hmm. And yeah, red flag. I mean, if you're looking for silver linings, at the very least, that one's done. Don't need to call him back. There's a red flag. Taking a break, getting to Melissa's news on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. God, so 90s. So dang 90s. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Melissa and James here with you. 9:39 on the clock, and my foot is asleep. Wake up, foot.
Shouldn't have been sitting on it.
We got a show to do, foot. Gotta wake up. I need my whole body for this. Got a mashup here, Melissa, we got to talk about. If your guilty pleasure is to shove Twinkies and Ding Dongs in your face at the same time, well, things might have just got a little bit easier for you.
Oh, okay.
Hostess is selling a new Twinkie Ding Dong mashup. One of those sentences I never thought I'd say
Twinkie
in my
ding
life.
Twinkie ding dong mashup. All right.
The inside is like a Twinkie and outside is covered in ding dong fudge. They've already been spotted at Walmart. They've been rolling them out nationwide this month. They're a Walmart-only thing for now, but not a limited-time-only thing. Hostess says they'll be a permanent addition to their snack lineup.
Really?
They say the word mashups is printed on the box, also makes it seem like it's the first of several mashups they could be working on. Other snacks in the lineup they could mash up include ho-hos, zingers, snowballs, donuts, honey buns, coffee cakes, and those Hostess cupcakes with the white swirl on the top, those classic cupcakes. Mm-hmm. I say we start thinking of mashups ourselves.
And send them in.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
I think so.
So here is, I'm showing Melissa a
picture
of
it. Yeah, I had to look it up.
Oh, okay.
I'd eat that.
I would eat that.
Definitely.
It looks good. It looks good.
Yeah.
I like this.
It's like a chocolate covered Twinkie.
I'm only mad that this wasn't in existence when I was a child. I that's my only holdup.
And it's got a lot more filling in it than a regular Twinkie.
So I like, I don't think there's a huge difference between ho-hos and zingers.
Okay.
You know, so I don't know. Combining that's not that big of a gigantic difference.
Mm-hmm.
I want to try honey buns and coffee cakes put together.
Oh, that'd probably be pretty good.
I think in my head it seems like it would be. I have no idea if my taste buds would agree or not. but in my head, like, that's my first combo that I'm thinking of here.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Ho-Hos and Zingers would be good together because they are so similar. Maybe that would be a good combination.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I mean, I'm just trying to look here because I'm not 100% up on my... Oh, Zingers are the raspberry with the... They're the pink ones.
Different. I was thinking
they're like a Twinkie, but they're covered in raspberry with coconut.
I was thinking of something else.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That actually might be a cool combination, a Zinger and a... You know what I want? I want your traditional Hostess cupcake with the white thing on there, but I want a snowball on top.
Oh, I was just going to say snowball.
And then on top of the snowball, I want that white little curl thing. I want all of that on there now. Mm. Now. I want it right now. I want.
Yeah. You know, there's...
I have no idea if I'd actually eat that or not. I just thought it'd look cool. I thought it'd look cool. I'd probably buy one and maybe never eat it again. I don't know.
But we ate a lot more Little Debbie's than Hostess in my household. So those are far more familiar to me. Mm-hmm. But for those Hostess lovers out there, call us up and tell us what ones you would put together. 424-2600.
Yeah.
Because for ones that people that really know Hostess cakes, like there's this one, Casbars.
Ooh.
Creamy crunchy layer bar with chocolate caramel. It's like, that looks amazing. There's sweet, crunchy pieces in there. I would eat that.
So I encourage people to go to hostesscakes.com. That's all one word, hostesscakes.com. Right when you pull up the page, they have all their big hits. But right under them, they've got like almost like a tagline. So I see Twinkies, the snack cake golden child. Cupcakes, topped with the squiggle you know and love. Ding Dongs, the king of cakes at your door. I like this.
King of cakes.
I like these. That's pretty good. Zingers. Okay, there's Zingers. Yeah. So that's what I thought of a Zinger right there. That's what I thought. And that's why I thought it was a little similar to a Ho-Ho.
Okay.
So what we're seeing here is kind of like a pound cake almost body with like a yellow frosting lined.
Top. Okay.
Top, yeah.
Well, I don't know what I was looking at then.
I think the frosting on top of the Ho-Ho.
Okay.
That's what I'm thinking. In my head, that's what would be a good combination. I don't know if it would be. Zingers, they lay it on pretty thick. That's pretty good. I like that. And they do have a number of different types of Zingers here, Melissa. So it might have been one of those, something like that you saw there.
What would you mix with the fruit pie?
Because
we called them fat pies when I was in high school. But
I think a donut or maybe a snowball. Maybe. Okay. I don't know. That's a tough one. I still like the honey buns and coffee cakes.
Mm-hmm.
Big fan of their coffee cakes. Those are really good.
And their donuts are really good, too. The little donuts, because you can just, you know, shove six
Pop
of them in your mouth at a time.
Yes, I love anything like that you can eat like that. Yes. I'm curious to see what you guys come up with. Go ahead and give us your combinations. You can go ahead and call us up anytime. It doesn't have to just be today, 424-2600. You can email us as well. Some of our listeners, I've talked to a lady this weekend who she's actually working to work in radio over at 89.9. She's a young student over there.
Good.
And she doesn't call in because she's still learning to get comfortable on the air.
Yeah.
So I told her I get that. I also encourage her to call in because it's good practice and reps are important. But she emails us. So,
Excellent.
You know, that's okay to do too. james.mailf@civicmedia.us. Melissa's email is very similar.
Mm-hmm. melissa.k@civicmedia.us.
And really, all of our team is that way. You can reach out to any of us that way. We have the 10 geekiest cities coming up. That's going to be our next topic, along with some good stories of the day, local good stories of the day, all coming up for you right here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. One more segment for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Take you right to the top of the hour. We'll wrap up with some local good stories and much more fun. I love this song. Just love it.
It's a great intro.
And it brings out the nerd in me. Brings out the geek in me a little bit, Melissa. And that leads
us... Yeah, you're looking a little geeky there.
Yeah, I can't help it.
That was a compliment.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You can be a geek anywhere, but here's where you can really let your geek flag fly. A study ranked the geekiest cities in America by looking at four different categories: how easy it is to access geeky collectibles, geeky costumes, geeky events, and other geeks who are in the same stuff as you are. So geeks, nerds, all of these things, all of these terms we use are now very actually popular.
Yes.
And they've become the hipper, more interesting people and all of that. Mm-hmm. I think that anybody that knew, you know, geeks, nerds and stuff growing up knew that already. But
right.
It's just kind of like society.
But they're fun
is kind
people.
Of like, yeah. Got it there. And by the way, we should note this too. The definition of a geek or a nerd is somebody who is very passionate about something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you out there that are really into cars, you're a geek.
Yeah,
you're a nerd.
Car geek. It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. Mm-hmm. It's great. It's just I think a lot of people don't understand that these terms are endearing. They are a good thing. Mm-hmm. It's not a bad thing to be called this.
I mean, it used to be.
Right.
It was a kind of a derogatory term, but it is not that now.
And it never should have been.
Right.
There's nothing like every single human being out there has got something they're crazy passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whatever that makes you a nerd. That's
yep.
the definition of it. So smaller cities didn't do as well. So you can still be a geek in a small town. Your geekiness just can't really thrive there. According to the results, America's geekiest city is also its biggest. New York is number one. And it wasn't even close. It ranked first in three of the four categories and sixth in events. Texas did well too, though, with three cities in the top 10.
Nice.
The 10 geekiest cities in America are New York, LA, San Antonio, Chicago, Las Vegas, Austin, Houston, Atlanta, Orlando, and Indianapolis.
Interesting.
I have nothing against Indianapolis. I just didn't expect that one to pop in there at the end.
Outlier.
Of the 200 cities they looked at, Miramar, Florida, near Miami, is the least geeky.
Okay.
Then it's Brownsville, Texas, Palomade, California, Grand Prairie, Texas, and Olothe, Kansas. I'm so sorry to anybody in Olothe for mispronouncing your name of your city. Because I'm darn sure that is not how you pronounce that. I'm almost positive that is not how you pronounce that. I'm trying to look at where Wisconsin City's ranked, but it's not the page isn't loading for me here. Not sure.
It's
it wasn't loading earlier, too.
I think the cool thing is that there's opportunities in those towns to, you know, go to events or to find collectibles. And so it makes sense that you need to have a bigger city to have that because there's just more options in a bigger city.
And one thing that I enjoy, too, is the most, even in rural towns or even when there isn't that much to do as far as that kind of culture, you might think, there's still more of it now than there was 20 years ago.
Absolutely.
I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that we've gotten that way. And it just makes sense. Like economically as well.
Yes.
Like this is a huge part of our culture that has a bank account too.
Yep.
It's a little to me like the ice cream industry. Like if you run an ice cream industry, why don't you have like ice cream for people that can't do dairy?
Right.
Why would you not? Why? That's a whole. They got wallets too. They got purses too. Give me your money. Like, I mean, I would. It seems ridiculous to me to not do both. Like you're nuxing out a half of your, you know, market.
Right.
I would never start a business and walk into it like I'm just going to put my business towards this part of society. Anybody the age of 25 to 30. No. I don't want you, but everybody else I'll take. Like, wait a minute, what are you doing? Why would you do that? Why would you know? You would never do that in a business. I don't understand why you would nux out any, especially this part of the society and everything.
Yeah.
And yeah, this website is not.
Apparently, everybody's jumping on right now.
Yeah, and it's called lawnlove.com. And I don't want to tell you how to name your websites, but I don't know what that's about. I don't know if I want to go to this website.
You
now.
Might not.
Not 100%.
It might be a good thing you couldn't.
Might want to move on. You know, we need a palate cleanser.
Yeah.
Let's get to some good stories of the day, Melissa.
Well, we've got a good story happening at the in Port Edwards at the Alexander House. They have a juried mixed media exhibition exploring the beauty and brilliance of the monarch butterfly. Mm. And they are they're celebrating the fact that Port Edwards is a monarch village.
Mm-hmm.
So they have their opening reception in June, and but the exhibit is open from 5 to 8 on Sundays, Tuesdays and Thursdays, or by special appointment until August 15th.
Encourage you to check that out, everybody. Get on over there. It's such a great event and a really cool time to be over there and a good to be checking out. A good time to be checking that out.
Indeed.
We mentioned this, that we have, of course, the Civic Media Blood Donation Challenge going on right now. A great opportunity to get yourself your name into this and get in the running for a chance to win some free swag or rafter tickets. Especially if you represent us around here, you'll get those free rafter tickets.
Oh, yes.
Otherwise, anybody else, you go ahead and get in there and you get a chance to win State Fair tickets, Brewer tickets, and all other kinds of things. Community Blood Drive taking place tomorrow from 10 to 3 at the former East Junior High School Music Room at 311 Lincoln Street in Wisconsin Rapids. Encourage you to attend that if you can.
Yes. Otherwise, the next week is the 24th, and that is from 2 to 7 p.m. And I'm pretty sure that's the one I'm going to try to hit up because I will be in town again next week on Monday. So plan to go to that. And I just read this more fully, James. I'm sorry for, what do you call that?
Ron Burgundy.
Yeah. Yes. It's not 5 to 8. That was their opening reception. The Alexander House is open from 1 to 4, Sundays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, or by special appointment.
Right on. Thanks, Melissa. Mm-hmm. I wanted to touch on this, too. The food service program that provides nutritious meals to children during the summer when free and reduced-priced school meals are typically unavailable. This will be wrapping up soon, so we want to encourage everybody to spread the word about this and make sure to use it while we have it.
Yes.
Breakfasts are available at Lincoln High School now until July 20th from 7:30 to 8:30, and they are available at the Wisconsin Rapids Area Middle School and until July 28th from 8 to 8:30. For lunch, you can go to Mead Park near the splash pad now until August 18th, 11:30 to 12:30. And Witter Park, the shelter right outside the Aquatic Center, from now until August 18th, 11:30 to 12:30. Spread the word about this, especially to families you think might be able to use this service. Great big thank you to everybody a part of this, all the volunteers that help out with this. Thank you so much to every one of you. We greatly appreciate it. And registration is open for Stuff the Desk. Mm-hmm. Get in there. Get your registration in. You want to do so before August 3rd. That is the cutoff date, August 3rd. Otherwise, you can get there right now. Pick out your time. Go to uwswac.org. That's uwswac.org. Just click on the United Way's banner that says Stuff the Desk, and you can get your name in that way. Otherwise, you can call 211 Monday through Friday, 8 to 5.
They can help you out there. But you want to register so you can pick your time for pickup. Because there are just a few slots, I think, or there's only one day where you can pick up if you don't have a selected time.
Yeah, so make sure to do that. It should let you know that registrations must be submitted again by August 3rd. Walk-ins will only be accepted on Saturday, August 19th from 10 to 10:30, and that's only while supplies last.
Mm-hmm.
And school supplies will be distributed during Stuff the Desk on August 18th and 19th at East Junior High School, located at 311 Lincoln Street in Wisconsin Rapids.
Mm-hmm.
uwswac.org. Be sure to find out more about your United Way going there. Another good story of the day, of course, or other good stories of the day I wanted to touch on that are kind of fun here. A six-year-old kid in South Carolina saved his little brother's life this month.
Oh, wow.
His name is Atticus Whitlock. My God, that's an awesome name. I wish that was. He was swimming in his grandparents' pool when his two-year-old brother, Anson, fell in and no one realized. Atticus saw him at the bottom of the pool, swam down and pulled him up. He's okay. Their mom says she and her husband were both out there watching them, but looked away for a second. That's just how fast it can happen.
Wow.
Make sure that you're getting your kids swimming lessons out there and keep them up on this.
Yeah. And kudos to that little boy. Wow. Maybe he shouted for help too, but did it.
Just reacted. A family in New Jersey almost had their big trip to Disney World ruined when their flight got canceled last second. They would have had to wait two full days for another flight, but the dad, who couldn't go because of work, picked them up at the airport and announced, "I'm driving you there." He drove 17 hours straight to get them to Orlando, then he napped, turned around and drove back. And only missed one day of work.
Oh, wow.
A lot of people online are nominating him for, like, Dad of the Year and all this. and look, more power to them doing that. And I think that's really cool. are we sure that he just really, really wanted that time alone? And like, I'm not missing out on this.
You guys have to go.
I will drive you there myself. Daddy needs some alone time.
I think you're onto something there, James.
No, in all seriousness, that's awesome. Way to go, sir. That is very cool.
Their vacation ruined. That's cool.
That is a pretty darn cool story right there. And a kid in Amarillo, Texas, named Shaden Walker, knocked on his neighbor's door the other day to see if they had any kids he could play with. He said he needed some friends really bad. A couple named Angel and Brennan Ray lived there, and their doorbell camera got it all in video. Brennan told Shaden some kids live next door, but Shaden said he doesn't hang out with them anymore because they're bullies. Brennan posted the video last week and asked TikTok to help him. It racked up over 60 million views. Then he launched a GoFundMe to give Shaden an awesome summer, and people ended up donating over 37 grand.
Wow.
They're planning to buy him a gaming system and some other stuff to help him make friends, like tickets to an amusement park. They say all the leftover funds will go directly to his family.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
That is cool. The power of people being good to each other.
It goes a long ways. It goes farther than we could ever realize. And more times than not, that kid is going to hand that down to somebody else, do something nice for someone else. Yeah. Or pay it forward. Yeah. Rafter baseball, not on your radio dial tonight, everybody, but we'll be back with it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Rafter's getting a much-deserved day off.
Yes, they've earned it.
But we don't have a day off of Playmakers. Oh, no, we never take Mondays off on Playmakers. We'll be here from 3 to 4. Be sure to join us for it. It's going to be a fun show. Randy and I will be hanging out with you. We want your sports calls and feelings. Mm-hmm. Call up at 424-2600, 3 to 4 every Monday right here at WFHR. Melissa, have a great day.
Yeah, you too, James.
Have a good one, everybody. And stick around for more good action, good stuff right here at...